Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Everything is awesome! Why are we the only team? Everything is cool when you're part of a team! Everything is awesome! When you're living a dream!
Yes!
Something like that.
So welcome to the Stay on Target podcast. This is our 40th episode! Woo-hoo! Yeah! And in honor of such, we actually have five people sitting on here.
There's
40 people in here. But yeah, no, we actually got some special guests.
Yes.
And this week we're actually talking about the song, the movie that features the song that we just sang.
The Lego movie.
The Lego movie.
Yes. Yeah. To my left is Cody Moffat.
Everybody, give him a round.
Thank you.
Yes.
And next to him is JJ
Moore.
Who's a longtime listener of the podcast. Yeah.
Yes.
Sexy.
This is actually the first time we've had like a legitimate fan on the podcast.
Like somebody who like has
I've listened to like three.
That's pretty. That's impressive.
That's a legitimate fan right there. Just, you know.
And hurting my heart.
I know, me too.
And we have a longtime fan favorite.
Returning guest, Jared.
It's in high demand, I hear.
It is.
I mean, Twitter and everything.
At J Pinions.
People are just saying, you know, hey, give me some more J Pinions. Just, yeah, for sure.
So this week we're talking about the Lego movie. Obviously, we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But first, we have another Operation Countdown.
Dun, dun, dun.
T-minus 10 minutes and counting.
All right. Can superhero actors in superhero franchises be replaced? We have 10 minutes to discuss. Go. I guess to lay some history here. So, like, this is probably, like, Avengers 2 is probably going to be Robert Downey Jr.'s last movie.
There's just hearsay about it. Like, I know that...
He's just not, like, vying for more money?
I know that he was supposed to have a cameo role in the new Guardians of the Galaxy originally at the end of Iron Man 3.
I feel like they're going to have to pay him, like, $3 million
originally at the end of Iron Man 3, the teaser was supposed to be Iron Man flying off into space.
How do we know this already?
Instead of... Dude,
yeah.
J. Pinions, bro. What's
up? Let's get inside info.
Because J. Pinions has his sources. Like, he has those inside sources for the inside
for sure.
Okay, so my thing is, like, I feel like... To a certain extent, yes, they can, but it's like with the Superman franchise. Didn't we skip like between? I mean, I know that Superman Returns had a completely different Superman, but it was supposedly in the same franchise.
Yeah,
and he looked a lot like the previous guy.
I felt like that actually. I mean, not
the movie was not good.
Okay. I did think Brandon Routh was good as Superman and a good representation of Christopher Reeve.
I agree.
But this is the thing. I feel like people. No one really associated that with the other films. Like it was supposed to be there, but because he was a different actor, they didn't associate.
Yeah, it was
with
completely. Forgotten.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. I
think
agree.
From some people's
that's why
it
didn't do well, because they were like, this is a terrible Superman
and it's
movie.
Like, this feels like we missed something because they missed like five movies or whatever.
Right.
You
and
know?
He had a kid in there and it's just...
Yeah, but it was also because I feel like that was just a poor representation, but still, I feel like you might be locked into, hey, we've got to get an actor that looks like the previous actor that played this part.
But then look at something like, Batman Begins to Dark Knight, where we replaced Rachel. Not a lead character, but you replaced Rachel with a different...
It was awkward for me. And
I felt like it was...
I didn't notice.
You didn't notice? Cody didn't notice.
See, here we go.
Okay.
So it can happen.
So you're saying we can just put anyone in front of you and say, hey, this is John.
Yep.
And
yep.
He'll believe it.
Like, on the next podcast, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to have a stand-in, you know? It'll be Robert Downey or somebody.
Not even going to have a beard.
Nope. He'll just shave and he'll...
Okay, so as far as like Wolverine goes, like he's getting up there too. And so like, do we feel like, because I feel like he's such iconically Wolverine, like everybody thinks of him as Wolverine.
For sure. Does he hold the record for being in the most?
Seven. Next year will be seven for him being Wolverine, which is already the most. It's just breaking his own record.
Yeah.
Just continually.
At this point, he's just driving that one
it's
home.
It's like Michael Phelps of superhero movies.
For sure.
Guys, I'm coming back.
No, that would be Tiger Woods or someone like that.
Or Jay Leno.
Jackman, I used to think, you know, Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, best Wolverine, amazing for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think that he can be replaced within the franchise, but I have recently thought that it would be cool to do like a different actor playing Wolverine and kind of a... you know, whatever, a reboot, like, or a standalone, or, you know, gotcha, or whatever, and just
like
kind of
an Otherworlds story, well, or something of, like that,
different dimension, whatever you want, yeah, to
the
say.
The problem with Wolverine is the fact that, like, he doesn't age.
He doesn't age.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So, like, you know, you're stuck with him.
Old Man Logan.
Unless you did Old Man Logan. I would
love
transition
to see
that as a movie. Yes. I would love to see Old Man Logan.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff with that, though, that because of, like, copyrights with different, like, Marvel companies and stuff like that, and, like, characters that were involved in that, that it would be very hard to pull off.
Yeah, because the Hulks were in there, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff with that.
Because it's kind of a spoiler for the Old Man Logan graphic novel. But
check out Old Man Logan. I've never read it. Just spoiled it.
It's good, though.
It's really good.
Okay, so, like, you know, oh, go ahead.
I think it just depends on the actual actors. Like, most people go see Iron Man just because of Robert Downey Jr. Like, it depends. Yeah. But some people can be, like, even in the stories, like, you know, Steve Rogers, well, I don't want to, he dies, like every other Marvel character. But, yeah, I was about to say, what superhero hasn't died at this
kind
point?
Kind of tripped out over your words. Yeah,
yeah, like, they got Bucky Barnes, Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier, yeah, supposed to be coming back, that, you know, they might rework it in, like.
So my thing is like this. I feel like you're right that it's like it depends on the character, but I also think it depends on how they do it. Like with Robert Downey, I don't think that Tony Stark will ever probably be an Iron Man after he's Iron Man.
I mean, they could just
make a new Iron Man.
Well, there is speculation that instead of, like, moving forward, the Iron Man films will not be about Iron Man but about the Iron Patriot, and they're going to have Iron Patriot in Avengers 2.
I don't like that idea at all.
That idea
it just doesn't seem compelling.
I'm playing out the rumors.
But I am
I'm not speaking truth
into this. I think that with cases like Marvel and this, the place that they're in, I don't think that they could pull off just straight changing out an actor.
No.
I think that they would have to do
to
something.
To go away for a while.
Yeah. However, hang on, I think they would have to do it with the Hulk.
Yeah,
the Hulk, yep, they've already done
that's
it.
True.
Okay, well,
they pulled
fair
the old
enough
switcheroo
you got
on us for
the
that
strings
one.
There.
They were
and it was brilliant.
It was brilliant.
And Mark Ruffalo was absolutely great.
I mean, so do you like...
But that is a very more minor character.
What did you have to say, Cody?
They replaced Edward Norton, like, one of the greatest actors
know,
of all
right
time.
That's true.
With somebody who did a great job in it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like while I loved Edward Norton and whenever they first cast, like, whenever they first, like, made the switch, I was like, man, I don't know how I feel about that because Edward Norton was so good in the first Hulk.
Okay, so, like, are we saying then that it depends on the actor they replace him with? Like, just as high of a caliber as of an actor?
I think it depends on that as well as just the size of the character, I guess, pun intended,
if
with
they,
the Hulk or whatever. But
if they put a different spin on the character, I feel like it becomes like a whole new entity, like with the Hulk transition.
Or like Affleck.
Yeah, his Hulk.
But then that's different. That's different franchises, though.
Yeah, we haven't seen that one either.
Well, he's supposed to be the Dark Knight Returns Batman, like the older.
Well, technically,
yeah.
Yeah,
but like it's not the same. They've already said it's not the same universe. So we're talking like Marvel is going to be like they are not abandoning this one universe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And Fox just wanted to do the same thing.
I think that they can only pull it off in Marvel and stuff like that. Well, like I said, maybe with the Hulk, but I think that better choices
like
would be to do stuff with like we were saying with Tony Stark, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see Tony Stark be Iron Man, but I could definitely see him then like killing Tony Stark off in the Avengers or something like that, and then kind of in a kind of a Batman sense, you know, someone else takes up the mantle of Iron
Man.
Gotcha.
Or they have a unique situation.
So, but then
the
what about yeah, because it's a suit with him, but what about somebody like Thor? It's like, I mean, he is Thor.
I mean
it's like you can't just go, oh, and my my baby, you know, brother is going to become Thor now, you know.
See, but like the thing of it is with like Thor or something, I lost my train of thought, gone.
Well, okay, so like think about the way Fox has done it with X-Men, like First Class, they just went back into the past.
Well, and then
now they're going to join together.
Well, but now they're like
she made those
up
hand
every
motions
single timeline, like they're doing all this crazy time travel stuff to like link together the timelines and like separate different dimensions.
Yeah,
and, like,
supposedly it's to fix all of the plot holes that like were inconsistent between the First Class movie and then the other whole series.
Oh,
it's
you mean
like,
between the X-Men 1, 2, and 3, there were plot holes there too.
That's true.
Yeah,
I feel like we're going to be revisiting.
Some holes.
We're going to be revisiting to fix all of the, you know, the directors going, oh, we should throw what's his name in there, and he's, you know, and he's not in there. So
that's how they handled
that
it. But Marvel can't really do the same thing.
I mean, yet we haven't introduced time travel in the Marvel universe yet.
I guess that's
true. I mean, we could tear some holes in the fabric of space-time and introduce a whole new,
and
like...
they could be going that way, you know, with all,
yeah,
you know, with doing the Guardians
the
of the Galaxy and, like,
the Infinity
Stones.
Infinity
Stones,
yeah, you're right.
And, like,
yeah, because they have
bigger
the Time Stone.
I mean, we could be visiting some parallel universes very quick and introduce, like, whole other Hulks, like the Red Hulk or, I mean, any of this stuff. Like, we could be, you know, basically able to switch characters at random, you know, where it's like, oh, and this movie's about the Thor of, you know, universe... 67, whatever,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but. I think it is doable to like do like an actor switch or something like that, kind of just depending on the situation. But yeah. I think that the better choice is definitely to do stuff within the universe that you've created.
So do you want them to kill Tony Stark?
I say yeah.
Kill Tony Stark.
I think if he's
gonna,
I do too.
I think if yeah. he's going to leave the series and not be Iron Man, dead.
Well, it's like because not only like Tony Stark has such an impact on the universe of Marvel, it's like it's not just Iron Man that has an impact. It's Tony Stark as well.
That time code means nothing.
Oh, yeah, okay. The time code means
John's
means
listening
nothing.
To the countdown.
I'm listening to the countdown. We're not even close to the
we're kind of close.
10 second or 30 second mark.
Yeah,
there,
they
so.
Okay. I'm way off here.
If Tony Stark should they couldn't explain him away without killing him. Like yeah. all the major events, Tony Stark would have a hand in them if yeah. he was alive. They can't. They just can't get rid of him.
Yeah, the decision making.
Well, yeah, like, he's just like, I'm done with this for now, guys. You guys can handle it. I'm just gonna Stark Tower it up with Gwen Paltrow. And
whatever. Whenever he dies, he puts his consciousness into Jarvis.
T-minus 1 minute.
What? I don't know. I'm complicated. I'm pulling things out of thin air. But I mean, like,
only Charles Xavier can put his consciousness in other people.
Okay, so there's one. It's like we're not gonna have a Charles Xavier in a bit. I mean, does that matter?
What are you talking about?
I mean, you know, like if they switched his character out. I mean, I guess he's old, so. Oh,
you're saying Patrick Stewart's gonna die?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Never,
like,
that will never happen.
That will never
Ian
happen.
Ian McKellen is. He's getting up there.
Yeah, he goes first.
He doesn't.
Yeah. Ian McKellen
they're
does.
Gonna have to replace him.
I saw a picture of him and Patrick Stewart.
But he's so good.
I know, dude.
I just. Well,
So is Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That's true.
Who is going to be digitally replaced in the last Hunger Games movie. Wow. That last key pivotal scene he didn't film.
Yeah, I knew he was close to finishing.
I wasn't sold on that idea of digitally replacing him until I saw the Iron Man did it.
Right, well, I mean,
what do you mean the Iron Man did it?
Half of Iron Man was not really not Tony Stark, what's his face? Robert Downey Jr. It was a stuntman because he got hurt.
We're done!
All right. Well,
and that's what I think about that.
Yeah, you know. I mean, so do you guys feel like it should be shorter? Should it be longer? You know, this is the second time we've done this.
10 minutes is good.
Think 10 minutes is good.
Yeah, that cleared it out.
Yes. Good. I like it.
All right. We have come to our final segment of the podcast.
It's the second segment. It's the main segment.
Main segment. The wrong words came out of my mouth. Please forgive me.
The wrong words.
#wrong words.
All right, so we're talking about... #wrong words. We're talking about the Lego movie, and those are the right words. Okay, so the first, as always, the first part of this is going to be kind of a spoiler-free look at the movie, and we'll just kind of talk about the overall themes.
But the spoilers are going to be building. I can only hold off spoilers for so long.
I know, we got the spoiler clock going down over there, for sure. It's happening, so.
All right, so, I feel like maybe we should describe this as like a room filling with spoilers. And
I'm imagining the trash compactor scene in Star Wars, yes. And like the walls are the spoilers, and they're just slowly closing in.
Yes. They're coming to get you, and there's no C-3PO and R2-D2 to turn.
There's so many surprises in the movie, and I just want to say all of them.
That's true.
I know.
All right, so let's just go like just the story. Like, was it good?
It was very good in my mind. I feel like so if you just like if I just told you again, like I always kind of judge the story of movies, like if I told you what happened, would you like it? Like, would it be a good story? And it's like it would.
I'll tell
you,
I was surprised.
Definitely.
I was a little surprised, but I'm not also sure I'm gonna spoil something here. See, I better
don't
just,
do it.
You know,
don't do it.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I feel like certain. I definitely feel like I like the first half of the movie better than the last half.
It was a little philosophical.
That's true. It was
not gonna say anything about that, but it made me feel things.
It definitely did. I will say that it was very well written, and you know, it had lots of, you know, for anybody who grew up, you know, playing with Legos and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's so much stuff for you, you know, from like small things to like, you know, using instruction booklet, guys running around being like, I need a 2x1 or something like that. Yeah, you know, it's just like stuff that you would always do as a kid playing.
Yeah,
with
and
Legos.
I feel like that's probably like. That supported the plot, because the plot was just like, it was pretty simple, but with those little things for like, you know, Lego maniacs, it helped.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Cody made the comment before we walked in. Well, maybe that's spoiler territory. I can't spoil it. I'm
all right.
Sorry.
So graphics. What did I say?
Like, what was crazy was
before I went into this, I read, you know, like how like 30% or 30. Oh, not I didn't read. I was talking to Josh Fulton.
He's been on the podcast before.
Yes. that 33%, like basically a third was live action, a third was stop motion, and third was computer generated.
Oh. Yeah.
And then like they would do like things like look at Legos through like magnifying glass to see what fingerprints looked like on them and how dust would land on the different colors.
Yeah, they definitely did it really, really well as far as just like building a Lego movie and not just like animating a bunch of stuff and like, you know, like everything was Legos and like you could almost see every piece, you know, that you would play with. Like you could have built that movie basically.
Yeah.
It surprised me like even liquids were Legos.
Yeah. Yeah, like the smoke were Legos. Yeah. Like they were just
Oh my gosh.
The fire was my favorite. Just like fire.
The explosions looked cool.
The lightsaber bolts that they were shooting for guns.
Yes.
Yeah, that stuff like just immediately whenever we got into that first segment, like that's what it just over. It was overwhelming.
It was
how crazy it was, like, and how realistic. You're like, this is nuts.
Like the beginning parts of the movie, like it definitely just felt like. It felt like me playing with Legos. Because think about you playing with Legos, like the stories that you did. It's just like never, it's just like this guy got captured and these guys are going to go save him or something like that. You know? But then you were doing these elaborate things all over the place. And that's what it felt like at the beginning of the movie. It felt like, I did this.
Yeah.
I did this scenario. And they were running away on the motorcycle trying to get out.
What I thought was an interesting choice, and I don't know why they did it, but it made sense in my mind, was everything was kind of like low frame rate, like jittery.
That's the
like,
stop motion stuff in there. Yeah. That's like the kind of that vibe to it. Like, and it, even like even some of those scenes where it's like you could tell whenever something was legit, like stop motion.
Like the ocean. Remember the ocean was really, really jittery.
Yeah,
it added to that vibe.
It was
that blocky vibe.
So cool.
It's amazing. And as far as like, to me, like as far as like the detail that they went into, even with the instructions and that sort of thing, I mean, that was impressive. And just the sheer scale of, like you said, of that first scene, it's like literally we're just diving right into the Lego world.
Yeah.
I appreciated they visited a bunch of different Lego things. They had some callbacks to some of the like retro stuff, like Bionicle in there. You know, that sort of thing.
Bionicle retro?
That has nothing to do with the plot, nothing to do with anything, but there's like, a
just
frame.
Just throw outs to people to just like, smirk at.
We've been playing Legos for years.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. And it's great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I was waiting for the Mindstorms. You ever play with those, like the robot Legos?
Yes.
Oh, man, the ones that you could control?
Yeah.
I forgot about that. So, like, the music. How was the music?
Awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Like, my only critique is that you hear the same song over and over and over
again.
Was
there any other music? That's
the problem.
There was the kind of the background, like,
swelling. The background music was, like, because I don't want us to do anything, but there's different stages of the movie, and they all have, like, the different
That's
music
That's true.
Them.
The different vibes, and they use the different...
They use that theme in a few different ways, like,
That's true.
In different,
like
different
in the, like,
amounts,
little,
you know.
Like,
well, we can kind of say that.
Western
I mean,
bar.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, my gosh.
The same song.
That one killed me. The way it synced with the action.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And as far as, like, to me, like...
But still the same song.
Yeah, it was the same song. But then there were those, like, orchestral moments where it's like, hey, emotion is happening. It wasn't, you know, everything... You know, it wasn't that song. It was, like, just kind of swelling chords. So, I mean, other than that song, it kind of did sit in the background a little bit more.
Yeah.
But every time that song did pop up, you did recognize that, hey, we're listening to Everything Is Awesome for this,
And
you
it's
know,
a major plot
time.
Point almost.
It is.
And you can play it over and over. Jared was like, man, you could just keep going up in keys with this.
I know, man.
Infinite key changes.
It's like
a Barry Manilow song.
It's like it's the small world. Yes.
It's a roller coaster you can't get off.
The jokes land right? Like, was the comedy there?
Oh my gosh, yeah. The timing was perfect on everything. Like, there were so many...
And the cast.
Oh man, the voice acting... Phenomenal.
Yeah, dude. I as far as like that goes, it's like whenever I saw that the Batman was in it or whatever, it was like I was skeptical because it wasn't going to be, you know, Kevin Conroy or anything. You know, it was Will Arnett, and it's like, but then whenever
but
I watched
perfect.
A few trailers, it was absolutely, you know, spot on for sure.
I did not realize how many actors and like good actors are in this, and like I looked afterwards, and Jared's like, yeah. Duh!
Like, I still can't believe you didn't know that. What's his name was in it?
Charlie Day.
Yeah,
Charlie Day. I didn't realize it was Charlie Day until like Jared's like, it's Charlie. Like,
yeah,
it is Charlie.
And you know, and
how can
Channing
you not...
Tatum was Superman. You noticed that one too?
I didn't notice that.
Jonah Hill. I don't know his voice at all. So
Jonah Hill was the Green Lantern.
Yeah, they
put Green Lantern and Superman together. Was Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill?
Yeah, I get it now. That's hilarious.
Yeah, put them together because they've been
right.
You know,
they did 21 Jump Street. The directors did 21 Jump Street, and they're going to do 21 Jump Street 2.
The
Which
director
that be
of 22
Lego?
They're
Jump
making,
Street?
Making another one.
Is that 22 Jump Street?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
It explains the awesome comedy chops.
That's true.
Yeah. As far as, and then there was Alison Brie. She was a character in Alison Brie. She was perfectly cast as
Nick
well.
Nick Offerman was Ron Swanson on Parks
and Rec. See, I didn't even notice.
And we had obviously Morgan Freeman as well.
I did miss that one. Who was Nick? I knew that he was
the pirate.
I knew that he was in it.
He was the pirate.
Okay.
Pirate. Yes. Chris Pratt did a great job.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Obviously.
Like, he cracks
He's just
me
a
up.
Charismatic and like lovable like character.
For sure. You know, and like, he's that guy.
Just the way he acts,
just,
you know.
Just a lovable idiot.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like, and as far as that goes, he's the guy you connect with because he's the everyman, you know, for sure. And
Lucy, the person?
Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth Banks. I couldn't think of her last name.
Yeah. Okay.
And Will Ferrell.
And Will Ferrell. Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
And like, yes. I was surprised at how well he worked as a villain. His voice worked as a villain.
He's done it before.
You know, like, he's done
Megamind.
I know he has, but like, it still surprised me. Like, I don't know. Like, I felt like
but
he worked
I liked
better
this
here.
Performance, but much better than it was than Megamind.
He is hilarious in this movie as well.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Like, the first like 10 or 15 minutes of the movie were just like I feel like I was missing parts because I was laughing from like parts before.
Just uproarious good time.
That was the one thing. I didn't know if it was the theater we were in or if it was the sound mixing, but the sound, like, for, to me, like, there were some things that felt a little bit like less compressed than a lot of movies.
Yeah,
like it wasn't as loud.
Yeah, like the beginning of the movie was definitely a little quieter. I think maybe they like the theater adjusted that. I think it was more of the theater. I also understand that because I don't want to, like, if I was the guy, I don't want to be responsible for blowing every little kid's ears
out in there. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there were a lot of children in this theater.
That's true.
A lot of them.
That's true.
If there had been a children uprising, we would have been dead.
We're not going to lie. Whenever I was standing out there, it was a sold out show. Whenever I was standing out there, I was actually waiting to give Jared his ticket. There was a father and his son said, "I want to see the Lego movie." He says, "Well, it's sold out." And I felt like heartbreaking.
Oh, man.
Like,
you're a monster.
But not bad enough.
The thought in my head crossed. I was like, I should give him the ticket.
Wait.
The podcast.
Wait, I bought my tickets after you.
No. But I was way after that. It was the movie had already started. Or the previews had. Yeah, because Jared was running a little bit late. I made sure to grab his ticket before it sold out. Obviously.
I was just trying to shift the blame onto this terrible father.
I don't want to see the Lego movie. I went and saw that this afternoon.
This kid is going to listen to the podcast and realize that you were the reason he didn't see the Lego movie.
Oh, man.
He's your biggest fan, or he was.
Oh.
Your biggest fan.
He's now your biggest enemy.
I just lost a follower on Twitter.
You're dead.
Okay, so I mean,
yeah, let's say, like, go see it.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a for sure go see.
Yeah, for sure. Even like if you're a parent, you'll love it. I feel like if you're a child, you'll love it.
If you're a teenager, you'll love. If you're anyone, you will love.
If you're
this
elderly,
movie.
You'll love it.
I mean,
I
seriously,
feel like elderly people
if
you're will love it.
If you're a 26-year-old man child, you will love
exactly.
it.
I mean, at the very least, people have experience with stepping on Legos, and then you know they can actually step on Legos. And go, oh, that hurt this time, but really enjoy it on the big screen. You know,
yes,
they didn't really like make that joke, did they?
They didn't make that joke.
No, they didn't make the step on.
I think Lego is they have some kind of conspiracy.
It was in there though. We'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah,
so the spoilers, count down.
They're boiling up here.
If you don't want to hear any spoilers, just turn it off now.
It's gonna happen. So.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cody, spoil us!
Batman's in it?
Jared, spoil us!
Lando Calrissian and C-3PO make their triumphant return to the cinema!
JJ, spoil us!
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Batman and C-3PO and Lando. Nothing else you need to know.
That's the first time they've been in a new movie.
Played by Billy Dee Williams.
In the theaters?
Well, Lando since the 70s.
Yeah. And it was actually him.
Yeah. I guess.
It was actually his voice.
Who voiced Solo was not Han Solo.
Who voiced Han Solo?
Those are the only two like original cast members.
Who voiced Chewie?
That's one important. Yeah, I'll look it up while you discuss. Start.
Okay, so as far as the spoilers go, this movie had like it had so many good like elements to it. Like we visited the different worlds of Lego. So we visited what was it? The
Western world.
The Western world.
It was the Western world, and they played Everything Is Awesome on the you know bar piano there, and it was actually the
Honky
wizard
talking.
That did it. I appreciated
Anthony
that.
Daniels
fact.
Was C-3PO.
Because he was, oh my gosh. Because he was blind.
Keith Ferguson was Han Solo,
and
more like Turd Ferguson.
Oh man,
Jake Johnson from New Girl was Barry. Who was Barry?
I don't know.
I don't remember Barry.
I don't know.
I don't remember
so
a Barry.
Some, like, forget that.
It was probably the construction guy. That
was it
was
Barry
like,
Allen?
I don't remember Emmett.
The Flash.
Oh. I don't know.
Flash was in one scene of this.
He didn't have a voice, though, did he?
It was like one frame.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
There's so many pop culture references.
Okay, dude. Who else got the get off my plane, get off my train
joke?
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Get off my train.
Yeah, it was Liam Neeson, man.
I got it as Harrison Ford from Air Force One?
Yeah,
that was the reference I was thinking
of.
Get off my plane.
Yes.
Yeah. And he goes, awesome. Get off my train as he's riding on it. I loved that reference. And as far as the building of this thing, like with the train and stuff like that, I really appreciated seeing some of the old sets that we used to have.
Oh,
like,
man.
For the trains. Sure. The Sopwith Camel showed up at one point, and it's like I've seen that in the Lego store
the
down
ghosts,
there.
Like just seeing these old, I'm like, I forgot about the sharks.
Yeah, for sure. The ghosts.
Sharks. Yeah, dude.
Sharks, 70s
you know,
the Spaceman.
Pirates, the Knights. The 70s you know, Spaceman. I love how it was broken.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
What was your guys' his favorite like genre of like Legos to play with as a kid?
Oh man,
I would have to say I probably play. There was two things that I played with a lot. There was a spaceman, retro space guy, but then there was also a biplane, a red biplane. And the reason I loved it is because you could throw it; it would hit the ground and explode into a million pieces, but nothing would break. You know, that's
like
sort of
I
would. Thing.
I think the one that I played the most was it was like a little Lego boat that was in the bathtub, and you could just like it would just float in the bathtub with your little Lego man.
Nice. That was awesome.
It would float.
I had one like that.
Did you
like,
super glue that
I had one?
One
like that had a crane on the top, so you could be like reeling in other boats that were falling off the waterfall.
Dude, so you had the bigger one.
Oh yeah, dude,
that's
it was
awesome.
Huge.
That's amazing.
I'm really more of a Mega Bloks guy.
Oh my gosh. Don't even talk to me.
I'm just kidding. No.
Don't talk to me. What about you, JJ?
See, I'm a child of the 90s. Like, so it was Star Wars whenever episodes one through three came out. Like all of those, all of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone.
Yes.
And my parents hated them.
All right, Cody, you have to say
what my favorite Legos were.
Yes.
It's really nerdy.
Just say it.
The Lego Mindstorms, where you build the robots.
Yeah, we were talking about that. That's
I love that.
Yes. Okay, so there was the good moment where everybody was building the submarine, and he holds up a little one of the other pieces. It was one of the ones from that.
And he was like, "Does anybody like, know where this goes?
Does anybody need this or whatever?" Yeah, it was awesome. So I loved the throwback to that. I love the throwback to Bionicle. You know that whole thing. So as far as like the storyline goes, where like later on. Obviously, the big spoiler, I guess, that I would have thrown out was, you know, we actually have some live action stuff.
Yeah, which, I did not see that coming.
With Will Ferrell and a little kid. And they were both really good. And essentially, it's like, I guess this whole story takes place inside the kid's imagination.
It's all a giant's dream.
I will say,
I saw it coming. Classic.
You saw it coming? Yeah. I mean, I will say that, like, it did feel like the plot was, it was about to lose control before like we went to the live action stuff, and it kind of grounded it and brought it back focused it back a little, because it was just getting out of
like what you're believed to be like the conclusion is just like, nope, that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
And then because what was the name of the block that he was having to take
Oh man. Yeah, he's having to take back
the Kraggle?
The one piece.
Too, but
the resistance.
The piece of resistance.
Yeah, the piece of resistance.
It was the cap to the Kraggle.
Yeah.
It was the cap to the crazy glue there, for sure.
Spoiler!
Well, we're past the spoiler point. We're bubbling those guys over.
I feel like this movie is so good that we shouldn't spoil anything. I really like it.
That's true, honestly. Like it is like, but
I mean,
you know.
But people, you know, who listen past this point, most of them have seen the movie and
everything.
So feel free, you know, they want to know what we think. So Jared, as far as that element goes, you said you didn't necessarily like the live action.
I know, I have super mixed feelings about it, because like I get what you guys are saying that it did kind of ground it, and it definitely did like make me like feel like a lot more.
I teared up
about
I'm
it.
Just, I'm just I'll be honest, I
but
teared up during
aside from John's man card being revoked. I wasn't it did kind of make me feel a little bit out of the moment though. You know, like I was really, like I said, I didn't see it coming at
right.
all. And like maybe that was just part of it. Like I was really into the story, and you know
the final battle
for sure. I mean, you know, I didn't, like I said, part of it was not seeing it come, but like I was into the final battle and how they were going to solve it, and then I felt like that just kind of dissolved because you found out it was just some guy's imagination, so they can just kind of do whatever they want to finish this up and you know.
See,
whatever
to me it's like, and to me I would much rather I guess take the epic of I guess the play pieces and kind of I guess put that by the wayside like they did and opt for more of the emotional, hard-hitting, you know, impact
which is definitely
that they
what
did.
They went, what they went for.
Right. And so it's like, I feel like for sure, like there was the option of, okay, like, do we just keep this inside the kid's head and do we just like not even address that? Or do we go for the harder hitting, you know, emotional thing? I feel like I'm glad they did that.
Yeah. I do understand what you're saying with the, like, because basically you've invested yourself in this movie.
It just kind of made the story feel like slightly obsolete at that point, like in the characters and everything, because like it was just
now it's put all these guys away. Now it's about this guy and his son, you know.
For sure. And like I said, I did like that. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it definitely did make me feel a lot more like kind of grounded about, you know, because you know we all had those like kind of situations playing with Legos and that kind of stuff. There was the guy that was like, I'm following the instructions and I'm only using the right piece, and like
you can't put that blue piece there.
Then I'm gonna glue them all together and put them on a shelf and like that's gonna be it, and you're like, no, Legos are supposed to be played with, you know?
And they're not models, you
that
know?
Guy was not my friend. I did not like that guy.
Cody disowned them.
Cody would you know, he was just like, no, you can't come over to my house anymore.
But yeah, so like I see both sides of that, you know, like, you know, I definitely think that it just kind of made me feel like I want to see the rest of the story just unbroken, you know, like just without that section in
they
it,
do
know?
Give you like a glimmer of hope that the magic is really there in that one scene.
With the Lego piece.
So they kind of leave it a little up in the air.
Well, obviously it's real, because it's like, because he was talking the whole time back and forth to the kid. And it's like, you don't know if that's in the kid's mind or whatever, but he did, you know, shake on the table and his dad looked over.
Well,
that's
very
sort of thing,
Toy Story-ish.
So.
And
yeah.
You can look at it where like the toys are alive, except for whenever you look at it from our perspective. You know, and then you can only see pieces like, oh man, they've moved, or like this kind of stuff. You know, like you can, there's hope there.
Yeah.
There's that glimmer. So you don't totally lose, it doesn't become totally obsolete the first part of the story.
For sure. And to me, like, as far as that goes, again, I would always probably rather opt for like kind of a more emotional thing. But the big setup to the big battle, to me, was awesome. Like, I didn't really see it coming either.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I was really enjoying the big battle.
If that had been the end of the movie, I would have walked out of the movie going, this was awesome still, you know? Yeah. And while I may not have, you know, had the emotional moment where I teared up or whatever, it's like, still, I mean, I feel like, you know, it still would have been a 100% solid movie. So, you know, they could go without it. They just, you know, basically told a different story than they could have.
Dude, Batman in this movie?
So good.
Oh, my gosh.
Will Forte playing the hot rod Will Forte. It's the same character, the protective.
Will Arnett, you mean.
Will Forte, though, was Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, he was Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
And which was awesome as well, that Abraham Lincoln just shows up and blasts off on his spaceship chair.
My favorite.
That's it. That was his whole part.
My favorite part of the movie was whenever Batman was like, where were you? Is a spaceship just going to come out of thin air? And the entire entire movie theater just erupted. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah. There was and that was the second time that happened, because he says, we're out here in the middle of the ocean. What is a ship just going to come out of nowhere? And here comes the pirate ship, you know? So it was set up perfectly with that moment, with the pirate ship moment for the spaceship to come in.
Yeah, but the Batman,
because they needed the hyperdrive, you know? And it's like, we don't have a hyperdrive.
Batman just shows up.
The Batman character was just put together really well, you know, definitely playing a lot off, you know, like the Dark Knight and not kind of like making fun of that in a way, you know. Well, you know,
song.
I'm serious, you know. Everything's serious. Is it a bat submarine? Patent pending. Whatever. He's like, you're gonna run it through the sun. Yeah, but it's gonna look cool.
It's gonna look really cool.
And then it's the bat symbol in the sun.
That was a callback to the last Dark Knight or whatever. Dark Knight Rises. Whenever he blows up in the horizon.
Yeah, whatever he does. I only use black. Is it about how many black blocks?
Or really dark gray?
Yeah, they're all going up.
Really, really, really dark gray.
I love Allison Brie's character whenever she's like, she's going in there and she makes a rainbow on the end of it or whatever. Yes. That was hilarious.
I'm really glad that they just like, I thought they were just going to like cameo Batman, but I'm glad he was actually part of like
the huge plot.
Well, as much as they like promote him in the trailers, you know, like you would hope that he was in there for more than just those parts, you know, like.
Right.
Because they could have, yeah, you're right. They could have just gone in an entirely wrong direction.
He was
with
probably
that.
Like the third most used character in the movie.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would say it was you know, Emmett. It was what's her name?
There Emmett, Lucy.
Lucy.
Lucy, yeah.
And then possibly maybe Morgan Freeman's character.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like his is like up there with Batman. You know, I feel like they're both kind of on that same plane there for sure.
I didn't expect to see the rest of the DC characters though.
I did. Oh, wait, yeah. Can I throw out something that I don't like? Just to throw out things that I don't like. I didn't like the voices and the presentation of Gandalf or Dumbledore.
I thought that was part of the joke. Like, Dumbledore's voice was so weird.
It was so high.
I got that they were trying to make a joke. I guess I just didn't think it was funny. Like,
You wanted Ian McKellen.
It kind of fell flat. I mean, you know?
What was the joke? I don't really get it.
I mean, part of the joke was one that, like, Gandalf and Dumbledore are very similar, and so they were, like, playing off that.
I got that one.
And they were very similar to the wizard character in this, and so I feel like...
Maybe they were making fun of the original Harry Potter, like really, really old guy that did did one and
the one
two.
That
was very, oh, Harry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I don't know. It's like, to me, it's like there was some confusion that I was thinking, is the wizard like supposed to be Gandalf? But then whenever they showed up, I was like, okay, he's just a wizard, you know, that sort of thing. So I do appreciate the fact that they put him in there, but I agree with you that like whatever the joke they were trying to pull, it kind of like nobody laughed at it. So
like the what was it? The micromanagers, they had a weird like high voice
I think that was Will Ferrell.
Yeah, yeah. Will Ferrell with a high voice.
Yeah, it was just him going like this
because they're representative of him.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the micromanagers didn't like. I feel like they weren't in real life. Like they weren't actually in the Lego.
So they were his hands.
They were his hands.
They were his hands essentially in the real world.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to go back and watch this. It's like Fight Club. You got to go back and watch it again.
They Fight Clubbed us in the Lego
kids,
movie.
If you like this movie, check out Fight Club.
Don't check out Fight Club, kids. Don't do that.
Very similar movies.
In tone and plot.
Wait, we don't talk about Fight Club, guys. I'm sorry. We can't talk about
first
it.
First rule. I don't care.
So as far as anything else spoiler wise, I mean, was there anything that didn't work for you guys? Like at all? Like, I mean, cause to me it's like, other than the moment with the wizards, I mean, I'm not coming up with anything that I didn't
like,
really care for.
You know,
for.
To me it was just that song just repeating over and over. It's still in my head right now. and it probably will be for days.
Seriously, it's like it's a small world to me. It's like, I feel like, you know, that was, you know, an
was
hour
that song
and a half
written for that,
that
movie?
Everything is Awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought so.
Yeah, by the Lonely Island and who are they? The other group.
I don't know. Tegan and Sarah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like so that was kind of, I don't know. I was just like, can we just not sing this?
But you're
song
right.
Mark?
That was a plot point. Cody made the point. That was a plot point because it's like because of the fact that, you know, everybody was under the
dictatorship.
The business.
Really?
What's his name? Business.
It's, and all the kids, like the kid sitting next to me was just like singing it through the whole movie. Even whenever it wasn't happening, he kept being like, everything is awesome. And I was like, all right, cool. This is sticking.
There was a kid sitting beside Cody just telling him every plot point.
Yeah. He was, every time a new actor would come on, he'd be like, oh.
Morgan Freeman.
The kid sitting by himself. I was like, what's going on? Where are your parents?
He was reaching out to you.
They're out watching Fight
Just
Club.
Like the kid was reaching out to John. Both of you guys had kids reaching out to you.
Terrible.
And you guys just spat in their face.
Did anybody donate $3 to that charity except for me?
No? No, that's true. Nope.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about this.
An awesome Darth Vader heart pin.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It has Darth Vader's head on it. It's shaped like a heart. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, for sure. You got to wear that thing proudly. Yeah, man. I don't even know what you donated for.
Children.
Yep. Children. the children.
There you go. I donated
children's
money
Legos.
For children.
You should have donated money to get that other kid a ticket.
Yes.
You
know, I send kid. Legos to third world countries for children.
To step on.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Just step on. They are all barefoot.
You monster.
Apparently.
This is the worst podcast. We're the worst people.
This is turning really, really like...
This is getting dark.
What did you guys think of like the philosophical themes that were presented, like... Like an almost critique on like capitalism, some like Wall-E type
I
stuff.
I thought, okay, so like that was funny because the way I took it was they were saying like Mr. Business is the one who's like making these sets and you can't just mix them all together, which is what Lego has done. They started out there's Legos and then they've started out with these companies. I feel like it was kind of like, you know, like pointing at Lego,
for
sure.
They were just making fun of themselves. Yeah, that makes
sense. You separate all these people in these different categories.
Because it used to be, you know, you just buy Lego. Legos. You'd buy a big bag and it might have directions or it might not, you know, it was just Legos. And anymore, it's like you buy it and it is, you know, it's Hobbiton or it's, you know, it's whatever it is. So, I mean, you're right. I feel like that was kind of a dig at them. And I also feel like it was a dig at, I don't know that it was a dig at, it wasn't a dig at capitalism. I think it was more of a dig at just, you know, the Imperial, like, we had one guy who was making all the decisions, and it's like they wanted creativity, they wanted, you know, more ideas together.
Because they all had one single TV show, the one single song.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. It was
mass-produced culture.
I loved the idea that
they didn't. I mean, there was some subversion there because they talked about, like, man, there's everything bad in this, you know, and business and government was one of them. Like, whenever they go to the, where was it that? Oh man!
Oh, the where cloud. You came in with the
whatever cuckoo cloud,
cuckoo cloud. That was it.
Cuckoo cloud. So like whenever you're there, they're like, "There's no government. There's no parents. There's no rules. There's no bedtime. There's no like all this stuff." And you're like,
"Presented to like completely different ideals."
That's what I'm saying. Like there were so many kids in there. If they had taken that all to heart and uprisen against the government, parents, bedtimes,
they're going to go home and build Cuckoo Town.
But see, and then at the same time of that, I feel like there was that whole duality side where it's like at the same time as them saying that in that world, they were like, and then if you have any, you know, dark thoughts, you bury them down really deep and never deal with them, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We're in a flawed world.
Exactly. So I think there was that element of it too where it was just like, you know, hey, you know, you can't
this
just
is fake.
Have, yeah, you have this whole fakeness of, hey, while everything could be perfect, how was that any different from everything being perfect in, you know, Lord Business's world? You know, I mean,
well,
how
then Cuckoo Town got destroyed because it's
it
bad
was
to have
destroyed.
To not that's true, dude. And I love
chaos.
That sequence was amazing.
It was amazing, like the way the cloud just goes down.
So many explosions in every scene.
Into the I loved the
all the explosions were just the little flame pieces.
Yes,
it was awesome.
I loved the elements whenever they would do the zoom out thing and they would have like mouth sound effects. Where like whenever the pirate ship came up to the tower.
Yes.
Well, that was the kids' imagination. And all
it was kids playing with Legos. And, you know, awesome. Making, here's my ship. You know, whatever.
It was awesome.
When somebody dies, they go. Like a kid would do. Like all the dialogue was totally inspired by.
They all come back as ghosts.
Yes. That was amazing.
And then even all the signs, it was like a popular band. You know, a good place to eat. You know?
Yeah,
it's just like kids don't care about names and stuff like that. You know, it's just like, oh, here's people eating.
Dude,
there,
but right? Okay, so like all the it was funny. Like, so you play something like Bioshock Infinite or Bioshock or something like that, where they like there's all this propaganda and it's like really realistic propaganda. But then in the town, there's like all this like very obvious propaganda. So it was like, you know, there was a big sign I think that said conform.
And it's like his handbook. He was reading a how to be popular and be liked by everyone else.
Yes.
Or be the same as everyone else, you know? And yeah, you're right. And they went into this like such detail with like some of those small things like with the conform thing where they went into such detail to tell a really like heavy-handed like this is bad, you know, or this is propaganda.
But I liked it. It was hilarious.
It was awesome.
Know? Like it was really funny.
It was awesome.
What do you think the overarching theme was? Creativity?
I think that was also just a really good part of the movie, is just telling a genuinely, you know, really, really good story, you know, about, you know, things like, you know, creativity and, you know, not being kept down and, you know, believing in yourself and having confidence and, you know, all these really good themes, you know, for
people.
What
I liked about it was it showed both sides of that because, like, you know, it showed the whole, like, man, not everybody, like, you know, always wins, you know, like, and it showed that. But it also showed, like, hey, but you're still special. Like, you still, like, everybody has their moment and, like, you have, like, creativity and good ideas inside.
Well, and ideas that you don't even think are that good, and like they have a place, you know, somewhere, you know, and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
like just try.
And
like,
I thought a double decker couch was an awesome idea.
Yes, I thought wish it was we had cool. one right now. I do agree with like, the hanging feet. Like that would be
not if you build that high enough though.
Unless they're Lego feet, and then you're fine.
Yeah, that's true. Because you're
just in a chair with your feet straight out.
So in a Lego world, it works perfectly.
Whenever they would fall, I waited for them to get like stuck. You know how they have like the where you could put put their butts on things.
Yeah, even walking. Like I was kind of like, is he stuck on that right now?
Yeah,
I did love the tracker on his back foot.
Oh man, that was awesome.
I noticed it earlier.
I did too. But I was like, why is that there?
I was like, what's that on there for? And then it was like, he's being tracked.
I love Cody mentioned before we went in, he was like, I bet you somebody's head's gonna pop off, and they're gonna, you know, and sure enough,
who got decapitated?
The wizard gets a penny, you know, thrown in, his head pops off.
I say that before every
zero
movie.
Knife.
Cody's just, he's hedging his bets, saying that before every movie.
Every movie,
goes to see the Notebook. Somebody's head's gonna pop off.
But there was some crazy violence also in there. Like the chick threw an axe through someone's head.
Oh yeah,
dude,
for sure.
This movie was a combination of every like action genre, because we had like heist
there were
themes
Indians
in there
with tomahawks.
like the whole sequence.
Couldn't put those in movies anymore.
The whole sequence, and they had the whole big headdresses and stuff. I feel like that. Yeah, you're right. Wow, that was some very big stereotypes.
I was wondering about that actually. I was like, is anybody else getting this vibe that I'm getting?
This undertone of racial.
I'm not sure how you know people are gonna feel about that. But yeah, there was like every action like type of action movie. There was like the ninja stuff. There was some like Matrixy themes, because whenever he comes back from the main world, they say something about, he's like, I'm the one, or he has all these powers that he didn't have before, where he says, I can see everything.
I see the piece numbers. Yes. Right, I love that. Right. You can see the Lego piece numbers.
So there was that. There was that Matrix moment there. But there was also the whole heist thing where they're breaking into the business tower, and you know, there was
the planning and explanation, and it's happening at the same time.
It felt like an Ocean's Eleven. It was very much like that. And so it's like there's the heist stuff, there was the action stuff. You know, this movie has almost everything, I feel like, and at least, you know, kind of nods at or winks at almost every like action genre
for sure.
If you like any form of media, period, just go see the movie. Like, it references everything. It's great.
If you liked your Digipet,
you would like this movie.
I could see
the pixelated thing with the blocks.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes.
I killed mine.
I loved the elements whenever they would announce, like, hey, this was the old West.
It's okay. Everybody's died at some point.
Oh, dude.
Mine's still alive.
What? You still have? You're still taking care of your Digipet?
Yeah.
Like, it's in my pocket,
he's
like right
you guys
now.
Can excuse me. Well, for he's at home, he's in bed, and like we're getting ready for college and everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
Never had a Digipet.
That's awesome. You didn't ever?
It's a lot of responsibility.
Too much responsibility. Exactly. I had Legos to build. You know?
are we talking about Tamagotchi or
either one? They were one and the same.
I've never taken care of anything in my life.
I had a Toy Story themed
one.
Yeah,
we actually had a Toy Story one too. We both had one.
What?
Yep.
How does that work? Toys don't eat.
What did we take care of?
It was either an alien, or it was some sort of a puppy, or it was some sort of a cat. So, I mean, it was like, and obviously every time you just
those are very different creatures.
You would reset it until you got the alien every time.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
That's what I would do. I mean, on the other one that I had, which was a Tamagotchi, it's like I ended up with it changes over time, right? And so I ended up with a blob, and I was like, I don't want a blob.
Isn't it always a blob?
So you just kind of, yeah, was it always a blob?
I have no idea.
Like maybe I'm a bad parent.
Maybe I'm just confusing my Tamagotchi.
You stunted your Tamagotchi's growth.
Too much caffeine.
Lack of care. So we're way off.
We are way off. But Batman.
Batman. Yes. Excellent.
Yes. Oh, bad cop, good cop?
Oh, man. That was amazing.
I love that.
Liam Neeson was the perfect person to voice that. Because I love, because it was his voice whenever he would go to the good cop, too. Because he would, really high. And he was like super happy. Super happy.
Yeah. He also played his own dad, I think.
Yep. Yeah, he sure did.
I couldn't
only
help
Liam
but picture
Neeson
him
can play his own dad.
In the microphone doing the really high Liam Neeson voice. And it made me laugh every time. Just think this grown, accomplished actor.
Who's as awesome as Liam Neeson?
It was actually great to see him in a movie where he wasn't trying to like rescue someone.
That's true.
I need my family.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. And they got stolen again.
And I'm surprised there wasn't any like taken references. At least none that I caught.
Right.
Or at least like I feel like, you know, if he's in a movie where he's threatening people, but he was threatening people in this one. Yeah, he always has to you know, go get close to the line.
I love just the running gag with the chair the whole time. That he just trashes the chair.
Upset. They grab a chair. They're ready for
somebody
him.
Brings him out a chair.
They set it down.
Around.
I love.
Wait, wait, wait. They did take his family. They took his mom and dad.
That's true.
Oh my gosh.
Mm. Wow.
Man.
We're so stupid.
JJ lays it down.
But every actor, what you're saying, like how he kind of played Liam Neeson, every actor played their type the entire movie. Like, it was,
for sure.
I will
for
say
sure.
His dad looked a lot like Commissioner Gordon.
He did.
And he was dressed in the whole cop.
I love seeing Bruce Wayne. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, dude. That was amazing. He walks into the boardroom and it's like he has no right to be in this boardroom. He's probably not even on the board, but everyone just accepts it because he's Bruce Wayne.
And I even loved the segment where he's just like, who's Bruce Wayne?
He sounds like a really cool guy.
He's really handsome.
And I love whenever he shows up as Batman and he says, he's like, no, Unikitty's got it. And it flashes back to her. She's got like literally markered on glasses like a secretary or assistant or whatever.
Business.
Numbers. How am I doing? And somebody goes, you're doing fine. And she goes, great.
He just goes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So let's rate this on a, are we ready to rate it?
I'm ready to rate it.
All right. So let's go around.
Scale of 1 to 10, right?
Scale of 1 to 10.
Okay.
Yes.
I would rate it at a 9.5.
Ooh, yes.
Very good.
Mm. Oh, you stole mine.
I would rate it at 9.5 as well.
Really? Okay.
9.
Cody?
Mm. Well, if he stole yours, we don't have to choose different numbers.
Yeah, you do the same number.
I mean, 9.45.
9.51.
All right, 9.5. Yeah.
8.9.
Jerk.
Ooh. Wow, we're going into detail there.
I'll put it in the 9 category, but also you have to realize that like this is kind of a different genre of movie.
For sure.
That's true.
Well, you know, like I feel like it's kind of a different 10-point scale or whatever. Yeah. And it nailed that scale or whatever. But, you know, you're not always, me personally, you know, you're not always going to be like, oh, I'll just, you know, watch like an animated Lego movie. You know, it's just like a 9.0 that, like, you know, doesn't like compare to like, you know, like a 9.0.
Yeah. And I honestly think that because
Dark Knight or Star Wars. Or
yeah.
Something
but
like
even
that, to some extent,
even because like, I mean, looking at it as like an animated feature is, you know, whenever we reviewed Frozen or whatever, it's like Frozen was really good, but I even feel like this is on a different kind of scale from that too.
Yeah.
Cause that's kind of a, I don't know. It's a more serious
like,
kind of,
I guess the point that I'm trying to make is like, it's a 9.0, but like, it doesn't necessarily mean that I would like buy it and watch it tons of times, but it's just giving the respect that it was an insanely well-made movie, well-cast and just well done.
Yeah.
I would buy it and watch it a lot, I feel like, but that's just me, you know?
I don't know where I was going with that.
And Jerry, take over.
It entertained me 9 points worth, at least.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even the extra 0.5 that you guys have been talking about.
The luminous 0.5.
Yes. Oh, okay. So, like, the thing that I think was unique about this movie was just the fact that, like, they did it with a wink and a nudge, like, the entire time.
It worked perfect. Like, I don't think you could have done it without doing it that. Like, I think if you would have tried to just make, like, this Lego movie that was basically just like any other kind of animated movie but with Legos, like it wouldn't have really worked. Like
it would have looked like one of those Lego movies off of College Humor or something, you know,
or just the terrible like Lego movies that go straight to DVD, you know, like those kind of things.
Right on. Now this was definitely one of the only way that they could have done a feature like in the theaters, a feature film. We'll see if they do a Legos 2. I mean, I imagine they will.
I think they will for sure. I think this movie is going to be extremely successful, which instantly merits, you know, doing more.
And Lego sales are going to go up the roof.
Have they already decided?
I mean, like,
oh, you mean the story's wrapped up?
Yeah, I mean, like,
this
I don't,
story's wrapped up, but just because like this story's
they
wrapped
will
up,
find more
like,
stories.
It doesn't mean that you can't tell like even you know, you can't tell other stories within this universe. It doesn't even have to be with the same characters. Probably will be with the same characters, I would imagine, but it's like it wouldn't have to be. I mean, I imagine there's so many more stories to tell, even if it's like a prequel where they're talking about the struggle, you know, the rebellion between, you know, the
really
against
dark.
Lord business. Well, you know, anyway, that's the like, Star Wars thing to do.
They, like,
prequels.
They put Indiana Jones in the next one.
Yeah, they do. Yes.
I thought I saw Indy in the background, maybe.
But there were so many barely touched characters. They could totally, like, just explore some other characters. The Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, just Michelangelo and Michelangelo.
Yeah. He was just there for the joke.
It's just like a buddy cop movie between Michelangelo and Michelangelo.
What Lego set was Shakespeare a part of?
I don't know. Or Lincoln. When was Lincoln ever
you
a Lego?
You guys didn't play with those Legos? You know,
is
yeah,
this
we
the Gettysburg
recited, you know, the,
address Lego set?
No, this is the famous people and the things they did Lego set.
You guys didn't
you know?
Play Much Ado About Nothing, you know, with your Legos? You know?
So who wants to go out and buy a Lego set now?
I really do. For sure. Like, let's go to the Lego store right now. Literally, I was like, who cares about the podcast? Let's just buy a bunch of Legos.
Let's just play Legos.
I know, man. Oh, dude. Awesome.
This is way harder than it looks in the movie.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They have the Lego movie Lego sets now. Like, Lego sets based on the movie.
This is going to be, I mean, this is like, this is weird. This is going to be
huge. Legoception.
Legoception.
Legoception for sure.
Christopher Nolan would love this.
He's buying all of them.
He's going to direct the sequel.
So this has been Stay on Target episode 40.
This is our
our 40th.
We're over the hill at this point.
Yeah, we'll do something else special for episode 50.
Yeah, we'll have to go even more, like maybe get even more people.
50 people.
50 people.
Wow. Instead of the 40 we had this time.
Go even more over the hill.
More, yes.
Farther over the next hill.
There's another hill.
You can find us all online at
JohnWright777. Follow me on Twitter. And you, Chris.
ChrisWright250.
Jared.
JPinions at Twitter.
Yep. .com. And then, does anybody else have a Twitter? Or, like, are we all, like, doing Facebook over there?
I don't use the internet.
I
don't believe in SoMe.
So, so if you want to find these men, you cannot.
Just hunt them down.
Listen to this episode over and over and over if you like these guys.
Yes, exactly, exactly. You can find us online at standtargetpodcast.com. We also have the Arrow on Target podcast. We talk about the CW's Arrow every week after the show.
It was for sure. It's that one's been awesome, and you know, we'll be talking about that. I guess it will be out on Thursday morning.
We post every Friday. You can find us here every single week. So that's it for now, and we'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.